Welcome to episode 2 of Medical Design Briefs podcast, as we focus on precision health and the role of medical wearables. I'm Sherry Trigg, editor and director of content for Medical Design Briefs. Presented by the editors of SAE Media Group throughout the year, this new series will cover a variety of technologies that are poised to transform healthcare. Wearable devices are typically constrained by battery life and balancing the need for continuous monitoring with power efficiency is crucial. This becomes especially important for devices that require prolonged usage, such as continuous glucose monitors or cardiac monitoring devices. Today's podcast will take a look at powering wearables and how to balance that battery life with power efficiency. My guest is Arvind Kamath, Executive Vice President of Technology for EnSurge. Welcome, Arvind.
Hi, we're very glad to be here.
Arvind, please start us off by sharing some of your background as well as a snapshot of EnSurge and what they do.
Yeah. I appreciate the invite. So my personal area of work has been in the area of microelectronics. That's where I started out, moved into print electronics, and then applied the two areas into batteries. So what EnSurge does is apply a very unique way of manufacturing using a technique called roll-to-roll manufacturing. We have our completely integrated manufacturing facility in San Jose, California, and our focus is on making a very high volumetric energy density microbatteries in the capacity range of 1 to 100 milliampere hours. And what this does is offer new form factors as well as other very appealing battery characteristics to the users and the makers of wearable devices.
Well, thank you. So given your expertise, how do wearable device manufacturers navigate the delicate balance between ensuring, for example, continuous monitoring capabilities and optimizing power efficiency to prolong battery life?
Yeah, so I think this is kind of exactly the area where our kind of battery, which is a solid-state lithium-based microbattery, we are completely safe. We do not use, unlike more conventional batteries in the lithium-ion space, do not use an electrolyte of liquid. So we think that this is where we're going to have the biggest impact and be quite disrupted, especially in wearables, which are very space-constrained. So the first key point is that everybody basically wants more energy, but they're also very space constrained. So getting a very high volumetric energy density is extremely key. And this is where I think we will excel. Most conventional batteries in the space constrained area are quite limited at the speed at which it can charge their cycle lives, as well as the current pulse they can provide to power most key aspects of the components on the wearable, like LEDs or communications. What they do is one aspect is I think pretty much all the wearable manufacturers have to move to on-chip components, which consume less power. That's a given. So they use chips which have low leakage. They go to Bluetooth, low energy, things of that nature. But there's no end to how much energy they want to minimize the recharging cycles in between usage. So this is where we will excel because the solid state cells essentially pack more energy into the same volume, up to 50% to 100% more than equivalent equivalent capacities in the 1 to 20, 1 to 50 milliampere hour space, where a lot of these space-constrained wearables like rings and hearables are.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that in-depth look at that. Can you discuss some innovative techniques or technologies employed in wearable devices to extend battery life while maintaining those functionalities? You touched on that a little bit, but maybe some additional ideas.
Yeah, so I can answer this probably from the aspect of the battery itself. As I had said, most companies, most product makers will make devices which have which have the appropriate sleep cycles and low power consumption for a given the appropriate function. One aspect of which I'll start with essentially is the ability of a battery to pulse a load, which can be quite high. So for example, to drive LEDs, which are indicators on the device of how well it may be doing or how much battery life it has left, or just an indicator of a health function, as well as the ability to communicate wirelessly, which typically needs a pretty high amount of current as the battery is as the device is communicating. These need very special characteristics. Now, and it's essentially called the ability to pulse at a high C rate. So for example, if a battery has a certain capacity of, let's say, 5 milliampere hour, if it has an ability to pulse a current of at least of 5C, that means the battery will be able to deliver a current of about 25 milliamps. Most conventional batteries in the lithium polymer and lithium ion space are not able to do that. They can pulse at probably 1C or 2C or less. And that means the device maker has to oversize the battery, using up even more space in order to provide those current pulses. And especially when the battery discharges and it's at a low capacity, this becomes a harder and harder function to provide. So moving to solid state lithium batteries will essentially provide the will provide the product designer a lot more options while being able to save space, and that extra space can be used to add additional functionalities on the device, especially in space constrained wearables.
Very interesting. What are some of the key challenges that are faced by these engineers and designers when they're striving to maximize this power efficiency?
Yeah, I think the layout of the device can be quite a challenge because in these space-constrained wearables, sometimes what happens is that they have one block of a battery, which has to basically be interconnected across all the devices in there. They can also, because of the battery size, can use up a lot of height. So for example, in things like rings, where are very height constrained, you want a thinner, longer battery, which may also have to be distributed in different instances. So the designer might want to slice up the battery essentially into two or three pieces closer to different components to provide more efficiency, rather than have one battery which feeds all the components on the chip. So getting to a higher density, a higher volumetric energy density battery, which can also charge very fast, can offer the product designer quite a few advantages. The other ability is the ability to fast charge. So just depending on the user profile, If the battery is very slow to charge, let's say it takes an hour and a half to 2 hours, in that case, most charging is limited to when the device is not in use at night. If it gets to something like what we have, which is fast charging, where we can hit most of our capacity in about 20 minutes because our charging protocols are much more simple due to lack of a safety due to no need for a safety constraint, then what this does is that the product maker can send data more often, which can be quite invaluable for how the device is used in a medical application, which would benefit from taking data more often and being able to charge faster. So those are some examples of how these challenges can be overcome by using a different kind of battery. Now, it must be said that, you know, there are different batteries in the marketplace, and there's not a one size fits all. But what we do is offer a new set of battery functionalities and parameters, which offer designers completely new ways of designing their products.
So in this area of healthcare wearables, these continuous glucose monitors, cardiac monitoring devices, how critical is it to prioritize power efficiency in order to ensure that uninterrupted monitoring and ultimately patient safety?
Well, I think the power efficiency will definitely be important. That's important across the board. So we of course offer more energy density, quicker charging and safety, and there will always be demand for more and more around the clock manufacturing. Around the clock monitoring. Now it really depends on the application. So for something like cardiac monitoring, you may want something which is very fast charging, but also high capacity and two batteries instead of one, which can charge an energy harvest. But you know, these are early concepts which are not completely in the realm of manufacturing yet. So it really depends on what the criticality of the load is. Some devices will use a primary battery so that they just use a large battery, which at the end of life, the device will be replaced. So it's hard to say what exactly that specific product needs without looking at that specific case. But in most cases, it's absolutely critical to maintain the efficiency of power and choose the right battery in terms of reliability and fast charging with it. And I think that's where we will also do well.
Wonderful. So let's wrap it up with this. As wearable technology continues to evolve, what future advancements or trends do you anticipate for power management and battery life optimization for wearable devices?
Yeah, so I think from the product design side, there will continue to be a push for new functionalities and use of new sensors. And we see quite a few of those as we engage with different partners. So they will continue to push new functionalities with ideally the lowest power consumption or the lowest duty cycle needed to provide the function. But the thirst for more battery energy will continue to grow. That will not cease. The space, the push for more efficient use of space, the continuous push to miniaturization will also go down. So what this does is drive even higher requirements for the volumetric energy density, a longer lifetime, and quicker charging. So we have a roadmap to continue to improve our energy density to where other conventional batteries by lithium ion cannot go because of the overhead of their overhead of the way the battery has to be packaged for safety reasons. We don't have that constraint as being inherently a safe battery, which will not catch fire or burn. So we have quite a bit of room to grow as we thin down batteries and move to much more efficient ways of being able to package and manufacture these. So there's a lot of room to where we can grow, to use thinner substrates, denser cell stacking, and other innovation on the material side. These are also produced with our scalable roll-to-roll process, which means that we can have the costs brought down and in line over time, which will open these up to more and more devices.
That wonderful, great insights. Arvind, thank you for joining me today.
I appreciate the invite so much. We are excited to be on this podcast, and we're excited to get our product out into the marketplace. Thanks so much.
Join us next week for episode 3 when we talk about navigating clinical trials with wearables. If you would like to provide feedback on this episode, please email me at sherry.trigg@saemediagroup.com. You can listen to this podcast at medicaldesignbriefs.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you for listening, and watch for more coverage of exciting new technologies in the coming weeks.